You. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we are here to worship you and praise you and to receive from you. We know, Lord, that you are here for us because you promised that when two or three come together in your name, you're going to be in their midst. So, Lord, we acknowledge your presence, and Lord, we are ready to receive from you. From your word, quicken it to us, enable us to hear it and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the week before, we were talking about allowing the word to work in us. And to produce the results that God sent it for. Hearing God's word, not just as any other message, but as a message that God sent to us in a personal way. See, this is where the spiritual power is. When we open our heart to it, and we allow the word to dwell in us. In Colossians chapter 3. There is an important scripture. That gives us one of the keys to be able to move in that dimension of supernatural power and manifestation that God has. It's in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in words or deeds, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. He's talking about allowing the word to dwell richly in us. And that means that we are really not just reading sometime when is study time or Sunday morning in studying and listening to the word. Is the word working continuously within us and being part of our awareness? You see, is that word working in us that makes the difference? Is that word that releases the power of God in us to work and produce results? So we had to learn, we had to allow, we had to focus, we had to spend time with the word. It's more than just, you know, once in a while when we remember that we had to pray, we go and, or we remember that we had to read some scriptures. It's the scripture that continuously flow in our life and maintain our attention in what God says rather than the things we see, we hear, and we perceive around us. See, that has to happen for the ongoing power to grow and develop and manifest itself in us. See, this is what happened, what Jesus did. Jesus was the Word made flesh. Okay. The Word was in him and was dwelling and was manifesting and was operating in his consciousness all the time. See, often we are conscious of many other things instead of the Word. We are conscious of our problems, we are conscious of our symptoms, we are conscious of our thinking, we are conscious of either what people say or what other people, when instead, you know, there is has to be that realization and that awareness of the word working in us. And that just doesn't happen because sometimes we feel like it. It happens because it becomes a habit. It becomes something that develops within us because we start thinking and we start meditating and we start being aware and start carrying out even in the time when we are not really. You know, it's like when do you ever have one of those songs that just keeping up on you and just can't get rid of it? Well, in that case, you know, the song dwells in you, doesn't it? I mean, it's really there, and it's there, you know, in a way influencing you. The way you feel, the way you see things. Well, when the Word of God starts to operate the same way in your life, then you're going to see the impact of what He does on the things that you do, the things you perceive. Now that is a very key element. You see, Bible study is not enough. Just reading the Bible once in a while is not enough. It's when we start having the Word operating within us, affecting the way we think. So this is why it's so important. You know, for example, the songs tend to do that because of the rhythm. You know, if the songs have the wrong words and the wrong idea, they're going to affect you in a wrong way. So what we have to really be able to focus on is the victory and the joy. And, you know, this is why the Bible talks about why rejoice all the time. Why? Well, if we are not rejoicing, then we are not rejoicing and we are doing something else. If we are in victory, then we feel like rejoicing. If we see that's so we have to look at the way actually we feel to determine, you know, what is dwelling in me now. See, what is dwelling in us when we had to realize what happened with Jesus' resurrection. Okay, if you go to Romans chapter 8, verse 11, is if the same Spirit they raised Jesus from the dead. Just go there a moment. It's always good to read stuff rather than just quoting them. No, sorry, 8. This is, but the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. You see, there is now again this business of dwelling in you. It's not just a question of once in a while, you know, you think about God. Is the God is inside you. And you are aware of the presence inside you. It's the same Spirit that is was operating in Jesus, who raised Christ from the dead, also will give life to your mortal body through His Spirit who dwells in you. You see, there is a continuous repetition of the idea of dwelling. It is the dwelling part that makes a difference. See, we like sometimes, you know, you go to God and boom, you know, you get the answers instantaneously. Sometimes that happens. But really, that's not the way God wants to do it. God wants to dwell in you so that His power operates in you all the time. And that creates the environment and the changes in you that are brought about by His presence. And so even if you don't get something instantaneously, you see the continuous presence of God brings about the results that are congruent with His Word, that are implied by what He says. Are you still there? See, this is what makes the difference. This is why we had to learn to allow the Word to dwell, you know, mightily in us. And we have a part we play. You see, where do you put your attention? What are you looking at? What are you focusing on? If you are focusing on all the other things and not the Word, then you are not going to dwell in you. The other things are going to dwell in you. That means you make a conscious choice on what you look at, on what you focus on what you consider at a certain situation. And when there is something that is in disagreement with that, you take a position and says, no, I don't want to look at these things. I want to look at these other things. Because they're going to have lots of alternatives. You know, the whole, all your senses are going to bring you about all the other wrong things that you see that are around you. And there are lots of wrong things in this world. This is, a fallen world. So you look at all these things and looks like, you know, what you're starting to do is to give glory to the devil instead of giving glory to God, because you say, he's winning. Just because you are looking at the wrong thing. What we have to do is to keep focusing on what the Word of God says, contrary, even if that is contrary to the things that are around you. And that is going to shift the way you see things. You're going to start to be able to see things that otherwise you won't be able to see. That's going to make the difference between you in feeling defeated and feeling victorious. You see, those feelings are important. If you just ignore them, thinking that just because you know that you should feel different, you know, you're going to feel different, doesn't work. See, often this is what the way Christians work. Oh, well, I shouldn't feel this way. Well, you do, don't you? So if you do, there is a problem. And the only way to resolve the problem is to address the problem in the right way. You know, we are reading through the Psalms. And you see, many of the Psalms, the way they start, you know, they're not too, you know, it starts pretty down in the dumps most of the time. Why do you think is that? Well, the point is that it has to deal with the same problem that you deal with every day. And those things are going to bombard you, try to influence you, try to make you feel down. But the fact is, he's honest enough to say, well, I don't feel good now. You see, by ignoring the way you feel is not going to be the solution. It's by doing something about it that is going to bring the solution. See, most of the people think that by ignoring the things that are happening inside them, these things are going to be resolved. And they are cannot be resolved, because they're just repressed and pushed down and put down like a band-aid, trying to say, well, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Just because you say it's okay, it's not okay. What you have to do is realize, well, wait a minute. You know, I have a problem here. And so I had to do something. I had to shift the way I feel. I had to work on that. And if that means you go before God and spend an hour, if you need to get it out of your system, get it out of your system. This is the way David did all the time. You know, he was looking at it and says, wait a minute, you know, everybody's against me. Looks like everything is going the wrong way. Oh, yeah, and you just see it, you say, well, what kind of a confession of faith that is that? Well, it's the confession of the truth. And if you don't deal with the truth, you're going to stay there because it's not going to be resolved. So what he did is got it out of his system, and then finally was shifted around and said, well, wait a minute, you know, I don't choose to be here. I'm going to believe God instead. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my refuge. In his presence there is fullness of joy. And he started to shift the things so that after a while he didn't feel anymore the way. By the time he finished this little psalm, you know, five lines or five verses, he felt different. But it's important for us to do the same. See, it's not by ignoring. Most of the people try to think that this faith is ignoring the situation. You cannot ignore the truth of what's happening. you have to deal with it. That means you have to deal with the issues bringing it about. You have to resolve the thing within yourself before God. So, well, you know, I do it, but it doesn't last. Evidently, you don't do it enough. I mean, you have to do it in such a way that it lasts. If you finish and after 1 hour it's back again, well, you know what it means? Redo it. Well, you know, I do it, but then it comes back. You know, do it again. I mean, you know, that means instead of feeling down, see, the people say, oh, it didn't work. You see, the silly idea, it didn't work, when instead it worked. You just leak. You know, you're like, there is a sieve, you know, you fill it with water and just goes out again. You have to fill those holes. You have to plug all the escape routes for the anointing inside, so that the anointing stays inside there. You had to do something to shelter yourself from the other things long enough so that you have something enough. Otherwise, you know, just leave it the way it is, you're going to be depleted all the time. And it's not that it doesn't work, it works, only you can't keep it. You know, people come here, they get prayed, you know, how many, you know, people came, you know, how many got rid of the pain? You got rid of the pain. You got rid of the pain. So, you see, you got rid of the pain. I mean, don't tell me it didn't work. Okay? The point is, are you going to keep it? Good. Oh, somebody said the right thing. Praise the Lord. You know, I mean, even if, you know, you don't keep it, just go and get it again. Stay there. You see, the very moment when, you see, it's so much easier to break the thing that is starting than to remove it once it's there. So, you just had to be on guard. You had to be watchful. He's coming back. No, I don't want it. And you take position right there and then. I mean, if you had to go and lock yourself in a place, if you had to go someplace away, just go and do it and stay there. Because otherwise, you're going to be robbed. And after, you know, you're robbed many times, you don't believe it anymore. It's your experience that makes the difference. Now, you know, praise the Lord that somebody can help you to get it when you can get it by yourself. But then you have to learn to keep it. All right? Are you with me? See, if you had to stop there and push your foot on the floor, sometimes you had to, you know, you had to tell exactly the ways to, don't you please do it. No, you had to take authority against these things. He says, no way, I'm not going to take this, go out. Whatever it is. Depression, pain, sickness, symptoms, whatever. I mean, we all tend to do that. I'm not saying, I mean, no, I'm talking out of experience, not talking out of a book. That's what works. That one makes a difference. What gives you victory instead of defeat? Okay. See, the resurrection power is inside, has to dwell in you. And is there, start to dwell means, you know, that is not going somewhere else. Okay, it means it's staying in there, that is operating in there, that is working in you. Energizing you, helping you to break through the symptoms, to break through the depression, to break through the all the wrong ideas and things. You know, those wrong ideas have to be eradicated. This is what the Word says. Oh, that's work. Well, that's not really work when you start. See, at the beginning it may be difficult because you have to go against the way, you know, but when you get used to it, you know, and you do it all the time, it becomes a habit. Instead of having the habit of feeling sorry for yourself or allowing this thing to stay on or just be distracted and doing other things, get the habits to be focused on what God says. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his spirit who dwells in you. I mean, even take just that scripture. And whenever there is anything else affecting you in any way, you just tell it yourself and you take that position. And allow that reality to become true to you. See, it's your position that makes the difference. Do you believe that or you believe something else? Well, I don't know if it dwells in you. Are you born again? Do you know God? What is making that thing not stay in you? Your choice. What you look at. You look at the other things, you start thinking about the other things. Well, when you know what Jesus has said and has done and everything else, you stay there. And just don't allow anything else to affect your thinking or your beliefs. You just take a position. It says, no, 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 no. Even if you have to scream, no, to yourself. But if you just let things go there, what do you think they're going to be? They're going to be there. It's your decision that makes the difference. See, God expects you to choose him to the other things. He is there to give you victory. He is there to give you the power to overcome. But you know, we get so used to have to do things because we are busy and we are distracted and everybody else does it and everybody thinks that way and who cares? When God said, if the spirit of him will dwell in, you know, raised him from the dead, will dwell in you, it will quicken your mortal body. So, I mean, just let your body be quickened. Instead of looking at your body being sick, you know, why don't you start thinking and believing and looking at, you know, we always look for the problem. Why don't we start looking at the fact that, you know, I'm being quickened? Where the start is quickening here. Instead of looking where the pain is, you know, okay, where is the anointing here? And maybe, you know, you feel just a little bit of anointing, some prayer part there, and just focus on that. And just let it grow. Until just it's all over. Why? Because you focus on that. What you focus on, you give power. Now, Romans again. Chapter 10. I don't think we can go in them. 10. I don't think we're going to be able to do all the things I said today I want to do, but that's fine. 10, verse 9. Actually, verse 8. But then, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Where is it? Your mouth and your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what?
Saved.
So it says two very specific things. You have to believe with the heart. And you have to confess with your mouth. Okay. Well, you know, so people don't believe with their heart and they confess it with their mouth, the thing is working. You have to believe what you say. You know, you have to really, truly believe what you say. How can you believe what you say? How can you believe what you say? I mean, you know, do you think that you can say to your heart, believe this, and your heart believes it? So you got the problem. Won't you say? I mean, you see, you cannot tell your heart to believe something and it's going to work. Because, you know, your thinking is going to say the opposite. So you're going to see, this is the problem with people try to confess stuff into existence. You know, I mean, you can to confess 2,000 times, oh, I'm ill, I'm ill, I'm ill, and your heart inside says, yes, there you are, and look at yourself. So each time you confess that, what happens is the opposite happens to you. Because you're reinforcing the fact that you are not healed. So just confession doesn't do it. See, this is the understanding, the way the heart works, that is critical to be able to actually appreciate what scripture is saying. See, the heart, you have no control, you have direct control over your heart. Otherwise, you got it. Everything would fall from the sky. And it doesn't happen. See, then you have to be able to get that, to get to your heart, to really agree with that. And your heart, you know, the way your heart works, it works differently than your brain. You see, you can want to think something and you can think something. You know, you say, well, okay, I want to say car, and you can say car. But you can say, you know, you can say the heart, you believe that, and you believe it. See, to be able to manifest your salvation, that means to manifest the power of God in your life. So that it becomes a reality to you, you had to, you know, and it's no more than just confessing with your mouth. It's, you know, when you say to yourself the things inside yourself you believe, you know, that's really what you believe. See, the things that you don't go around saying to everybody is the things you say within yourself, but because you don't want, you know that that's not the thing to say. Oh, I'm a failure. Oh, yes, I'm a mess. Oh, this, all this other stuff. That's the stuff that you really believe if you say it, because that is what is coming out of your heart. So what do you do about it? Well, you better change something that is going to affect your heart. So you have to communicate down with your heart to be able to get anywhere, to change your heart. Oh, you're going to go and say, God, change my heart. Well, it doesn't quite work that way. Everybody goes on because he's able to say that. It just doesn't work, though. See, what you have to do is understanding the way the heart works. Okay, the heart doesn't work by logic. You see, it's not a logical thing. The heart behaves like a 3-year-old person. So you have to tell the heart what it has to believe, number one. But even if you do that, doesn't mean it's going to believe it. See, one of the characteristics of the heart, that the heart works by pictures, not by words, not by logic. So one of the first things you have to do is to see the things you want the heart to see. Because when you see it, you are showing that. You see, the heart works by experience. See, when you go through certain things in your life, is records what happened. And doesn't record all the thinking ideas, it records the event the way you see them. So go by images not by words. Even the words have images connected to them, but they're connected logically. No, there is no logic, just images. It's like when you dream, there is no logic in your dream, is there? Why? Because your dreams come from your heart. And sometimes, you do crazy things like fly or whatever. If I had the time, I'd share you another dream, because I'm going to try to do that so that you see how they work. They are not logical. And this is absolutely not logical. So where was I? So what you have to learn to do is to understand that the heart see images. So you are going to influence your heart with images. When you go through a certain process, the heart see what happens. So, for example, if you see somebody, you are in an environment which is happy and or smiling, you're going to be smiling too, because influence your heart. If you start imagining all happy people, after a while you're going to be happy too, because you cannot be. You see, the heart cannot see two things at the same time, the same way as you cannot think about those two things at the same time. See, you affect your heart through your imagination. God has given us imagination, the ability to see things. If you use it the way God says, and there is ample of scriptures showing that happening in the Bible. This is why, how many are, two, 3 weeks ago I said, you can use sleep time to talk to your heart. How many remember that? Okay. Use your dreams to deal with your heart, because they reflect what is inside there. And learn to use that instead of using against you. People, just the only thing they can do is, how many dream here, regularly? Okay. What do you do with it? You write it down, okay, that's already something. Pray about it, okay. See, the thing is, you can use that time to help you spiritually to grow. From your dreams. Because your dreams reflect what is in your heart. So when you dream stuff, it gives you direction on the things that you have to work on, or maybe that God is working on you, or that you had to do. Or give you understanding about things that you don't understand and you are trying to resolve within your thinking. We're going to talk in detail about that. Now I lost where I was. All right. Let me see. Let's go back here. Moment. So the idea is very simple. Okay. Confessing here, and believing in the heart. That's where I was. What you have to do is to influence your heart to believe what the Word of God says. How are you going to do that? Well, that's meditation. It's taking the Word of God and seeing it working in you. Start envisaging the result of the work working in you. Start seeing what it means when it's going to be manifested, and you start seeing what it means. You start seeing the effect of the Word actually working in your life. So that you start seeing yourself as the one that has received the Word. Says the world, the rich, the poor say, I am rich. Well, that's nothing else than applying, that principle. You see, you start seeing yourself as rich. Rich, somebody is rich, is rich. And so has to be able to do the things that the poor person cannot do. Let the weak say, I am strong. I mean, that doesn't mean you go around, I'm strong, and go around and cannot even walk. No, you start, stop moving around. It's not the moving that does it. You know, it's the image inside yourself, and start to see yourself strong. Have an image of yourself strong. If you need to put the picture on some, you know, against the wall of somebody that is strong so that you can connect to that, you know, do that. Amen. May help you. Amen. But you need to redirect your way of thinking so that you say, you see, I'm that. Amen. The same way as you identify yourself with Christ when you are baptized. You see yourself dead, wounded in the tomb, and coming out alive with the power of God inside you. And this is, you know, these things are nothing else that acted on meditations. Are you following what I'm saying? You see, these are not ceremonies. These are acted on meditation. There is nothing magic about it, but it's the fact that when you start connecting to that reality, you start talking to your heart about a reality that you may not be real to you yet because you don't believe it. It starts to be clear how you work on this. You see, but I cannot do it for you. I can pray with you, and when I'm praying with you, I'm praying so that that process takes place inside you. This is the prayer of faith, by the way. See, when I pray, I'm very specific. I'll tell you exactly what's happening or what should be happening. But I see it happening. That's why I can pray it. But you see, if you follow what I'm praying, you see it happening too. When you see it happening, you cannot be in anywhere else but have faith for it. Because at that moment, the faith is operating in you because your heart sees it. Are you following what I'm saying? See, the very moment when you go back and you start seeing other things, your heart doesn't believe it anymore. But when you are here and you're listening to me, you are following what I'm saying. If you are following what I'm saying, you get the results. Because I pray the prayer of faith. And I see it. And I make you see it, possibly. So that God's power can do the work through you that He's planning to do, that He wants to do, that He promised to do. And I'm not praying anything, you know, that the Word doesn't say. This should happen. I just believe what the Word says. And I put it into words. And I deal with, actually, I see it myself to be able to. And when I'm that way, I cannot believe anything else. My heart at the moment is in agreement because my heart doesn't have a mind of its own. It's following the images of God, the Word of God. You see, in that moment, the Word dwells in me, dwells in you, and there is nothing else there to affect you, to make you think otherwise, so that God's power starts flowing naturally out of the Word, because the power is in the Word. But that's to be in the heart, not up here. Are you following what I'm saying? I know that works 100% of the time when you do it right. That's why, you know, for example, with pain, you know, it's so easy to do it. It takes 5 minutes. Most of the time, it's gone if they stop thinking and they start listening. Why? Because God's power is working in them, you know, dwells. The same spirit that dwells in Christ as He was raised from the dead can do anything, including now a miracle. And you know how to get there. It's not by chance that happens. It's because the faith is in you, and you go how to get to the place where your the faith is operating in you. And it's not by chance that you get it. But you have to change what is in your heart. And you keep the heart different until that thing is rooted inside you and doesn't go out anymore, because that's a natural being for your heart to be. Is what the experience, you see, you create in you the experience of truth, that the Word of God is truth. That's why, you know, people go for prayer chain, don't get anything, and instead of lifting up their faith, goes down the drain. Because they don't get it. And they go 2,000 times, and each time they go, they have less faith, and they are going to get nothing after a while. Why Christians, young Christians, just barely saved, you pray for them, sometimes they're instantly healed. Christians have been Christian for 50 years. You pray 10,000 times and they don't get anything. Why? Because they have been prayed for them 5,000 times. The other one don't have any experience. Just have simply believe. Don't tell me that a new believer is cleaner than somebody that's been with the Lord, trying to follow the Lord. That's a really good, Christian for many years, is deserve more or less. You see, the Lord doesn't look at what you do anyway. It has nothing to do with your goodness and your cleansing and your things. God's power works by faith. And faith is nothing else than what your heart can believe. So, if you can find all the problems and the mistakes and the weakness and the stuff like that, you have no faith. You just justify anything that nothing is going to work for you, because you had to work another 10 years to clean up your life. And the 10 years that you spend are not good enough anyway, because you didn't get very far. Well, that's the truth. That's the experience that most Christians have. And the reason they're too religious to be able to understand it doesn't work by works, it works by faith. And the faith is just simply believing. Now, if you start thinking that way, you're going to start seeing results. When I don't feel great, feel good, I'm just like everybody else. Okay? One thing I do is, I try to find, and sometimes I find it difficult because I'm busy. I want to find the time to spend time just with God and receive. If in 1 hour didn't do it, I spend 2 hours. Generally, after 2 hours, I'm feeling okay. If needs more, I do more. Hello? That we are in this world. We are not, incorruptible yet. It's come the day that we are going to be. We don't need to go through this. Praise the Lord. You're going to have a resurrected body. It's going to be so much better. But for now, we have to deal with this stuff here. All right? And we have to learn to do the right thing so that it works properly. And that means dwell, let the Word dwell in us mightily. So, you should always have some scripture meditating about. And yet to be connected to the problem you have, because, what your problem is not my problem. I have a different one, possibly, and I have to deal with something because I'm this world. I'm affected by the world around me. And so are you. But you have to stop, realize that when, this verse that we're reading, confession, confessing with your mouth and believing with your heart that Jesus raised from the dead, that thing has to be not something that you have to work out for. You know, it's something that happens spontaneously inside you all the time. You see yourself that way. You see yourself saved. You see yourself freed. You see yourself victorious. It's your identity as a new creature in Christ. Now, you know, this is not mental agreement. This is believing. See, what you have to determine every minute. You have to determine two things. Number one, what do you really, well, actually, no, I shouldn't say that. I should say, what your heart really believes. Not the theology that you are agreeing with, because that doesn't do it. What your heart at that moment really believes. And you can see, you see, it's not by thinking about it, it's by looking at yourself, seeing what you do, and seeing what you say to yourself, not to other people. Because you're going to say all the right thing to other people. You have to see yourself, what your words are to yourself about dealing with the situations you are in every moment. That tells you where you are. Don't fool yourself about, well, I have faith. No, just see what you say to yourself. And that's going to tell you exactly where your heart is. And when you know that, then you know what to do. The second thing that you have to do is to decide when something is not in the right direction. If you, what you say to yourself doesn't agree with the Word of God, is to start changing that. He says, no, wait a minute. I don't like this. I mean, if you like what you say, go ahead. That's what you're going to get. Nobody can do anything. I can pray for you. It doesn't do any good. You had to believe to receive. Now I can pray that you change, you know, the Holy Spirit opens your eyes so that you can see some things. Okay? But sometimes there are layers of religion to go over that is very difficult to break through. See, the worst thing to get through is religion. Okay? So, but you have to understand that you have to start developing an experience about where you want to go. To start seeing it. This is why, you know, God-given power of imagination is so important for us. We have to start to see what it means to be saved. You know, if you believe that when to be saved means to go to heaven, that's exactly what you're going to get. And you don't get anything else. And that's where a lot of Christians are at. But this is not what God wants to do. This is not what Jesus did when he ministered to people. So the idea is that we have to believe all the things that salvation means, which actually means deliverance from all the curses of the law, including sickness, pain, problems, all the time, poverty, all the other things that are involved there. Any of these things that are the curse of the law, they should be falling off of you as you appropriate salvation. As you start believing for what God has done for you. Are you still here with me? See, this is ours. This is why Jesus died for us. By his stripes, we are healed. Are we? How comfortable. You see, one of the things we have to see, you know, see what you say, but also see how comfortable we are when we read the scripture and says, you know, am I? Oh, I had to work really hard. No, it doesn't say you had to work hard. It says you are. You see, if you had to work hard, that means you had to do it. He is not doing it. He hasn't done it. He has done it. You had nothing to do but believe. So the only thing you had to do, the only work you had to do, is to work on your heart so that your heart changes. Hello?
Hi.
I hope it's not ouch, but the point is... But you know, it's not complicated. See, I want to say one thing important to understand. You know, when our mind works well, we are in trouble. Because our mind is controlled by the gatekeeper. You see, our mind function is to try to keep us the way we are now. The gatekeeper won't let anything new happen to, or think, or new ideas happen to you, penetrate into your heart. So he's going to try to block any new ideas that you're going to tell yourself. Because why? Because you have 20, 30 years of experience telling you all those things. So that is the truth according to the gatekeeper. The function of the gatekeeper is to give you homeostasis, to keep you the same as you are now. If you are sick, it's going to keep you sick. If you are well, hopefully it's going to keep you well too. So how do you go around the gatekeeper? Well, that's why dreams are so important. You see, when you sleep, your gatekeeper is not working. Ha! That's good! I mean, so you know how you to go, one way to go around him. You see, what the vision of the night, they talked about them, the Bible. Pastors don't talk about these things. This is not in the area of pastor, but that's okay. That's my area. The dreams of the night that you get when you are between awake and asleep. Oh, actually, the vision of the night, sorry. You know, you get when you're between awake. It's nothing else. Why do you get stuff there that you cannot get when you are awake? Because your gatekeeper is taking a nap. So you can go around it. You see, that's why it's so important. The vision of the night, the dreams, the vision even during the day at that moment means, you know, you are able to break through the gatekeeper. The gifts operate beyond the gatekeeper abilities. All right? So this is why it's so important. Now, you automatically, God made you with this ability to dream. That's the way he resolved much of the stuff that he can when you are asleep. That's why you dream all the every night. Everybody dreams all every night. You just maybe don't remember them. And sometimes you don't need to remember because everything is fine. But some other time, you need, when you understand what's happening, helps you to, oh, it's time to close. Okay, I'm going to share a dream with you and show you the way it works. 2 weeks ago, just before, you know, my, what I think most of the time is ministry. And that's what dwells in me, okay? And so I was asleep. I was actually was asleep, but I woke up and remembered the old dreams. And I had to minister. I had in my hand this long, thin metallic spike. You know, it was like but it was very so thin that nobody could see it. I mean, it was very thin, but very strong and very sharp. Okay? It was about that long. And it was like a needle. And I had to use it to kill people. That was my dream. But the way I would kill them, there was nothing morbid about the dream. There was not any bad feeling about the dream. See, you have to see what the way it feels about the dream. I had to go and embrace people, and I would embrace them. I would stick that in their heart. Right? But that was love. That was a love killing. Are you getting what was saying? See, the old man has to die. And you don't even see what I'm doing most of the time. But I'm trying to stick and kill the old man inside, in your heart. But what the Lord was stressing to me is it's okay to do that, but I had to do it by embracing you, loving you. Because that was love that was doing it. Now, the ministry for me was the idea, you know, I fully understand the other part, but what ministered to me was the fact of the embrace. That's what I had to remember. Okay, I had to do that job. They may not be always pleasant, but that, the love, has to be what makes me do it and what makes you receive it. Anyway, do you see what I mean? Do you see how you had to interpret it to understand what's happening? I mean, it wasn't, you see, somebody, oh, kill her. Sounds pretty glory. No, it's not at all. There was very light. The dream was good. Was not bad. You see, death is considered a negative thing. It's not. That's right. Love him to death. All right. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything today? Yes. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we can, Lord, come before you to receive, come to you to understand, come to you, Lord, to be set free. And so today, Lord, as we are sharing, we hope that and we pray, Lord, that the things we share may have produced fruit, Lord, as we go to the Word and we, Lord, open the Word to us so that we quicken our heart and renew it and make it able to appropriate everything that Jesus has done. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.